I've really enjoyed covering these track teams. It's something I took over, like Alyssa was saying. It's fun to cover a sport, to learn a new sport. And I feel like every time I'm out at track, I learn something new from you guys, from watching them, from sitting next to Sean Price, your great track SID. And I've been doing it a couple years now. And I think a lot of people in Arkansas are familiar with track and field just because of the history here. But as far as you two and your coaching backgrounds, Coach Johnson, this is your third season. Coach Case, you're here in your first. But you've been in Arkansas for a long time. But Coach Johnson, starting with you, you were at Arkansas as an assistant for 10 years with Lance Harder, correct? But what about before that? Kind of walk us through your coaching journey before that.
Well, my coaching journey started in high school. So I coached high school for 3 years in the state of Texas. I'm from Texas. So in Beaumont, Texas, I coached 3 years. Then I came here as a graduate assistant or volunteer assistant. Coached here for 2 years, and I took my first paid job, I guess, collegiately at Penn State, and I was there for 10 years. And then, obviously, I found my way back to the University of Arkansas.
And then, Coach Case, you've also been in Fayetteville a long time, came over with Coach Bucknum, but tell us a little bit about your kind of coaching journey and your career.
Yeah, they like to not pay track coaches for a while, so I know what Chris is talking about. So we all work like 4 years without getting paid, but I started at Arkansas State. I went to school up in Iowa, Northern Iowa. Somehow got a job at Arkansas State right out of graduate school, which was amazing at the time. Was there for 6 years. Went on to Drake University. Was head coach there for 4 years. Then I was in Northern Iowa for 8 years, and I've been here for, this is my 18th year at Arkansas. So been here. I'm a Razorback through and through now.
You both took over for longtime mentors, guys you'd worked with for a long time, who also happened to be legendary Arkansas coaches who had great runs of success. Starting with you, Coach Johnson, just what was it like a few years ago taking over for Coach Harder? What do you feel like prepared you for that?
I think time prepares you, having a really good understanding of what it's like to coach at Arkansas and the expectations that you have coaching at a school like the University of Arkansas. So also knowing Coach Mack and just understanding his way, and he'd always come around the offices. As a graduate assistant, I would always talk to him, and he'd always take time to kind of explain his philosophy in his own way about doing it. So I think having a really good understanding of what the expectations are and how to live up to them, and obviously says, hey, do what's best for the kid, and you always do what's best for the team.
Then, Coach Case, you have known Chris Bucknum, who you took over for a really long time. You competed for him. You coached under him for most of your career. Just what was it like when he kind of handed the reins off to you? I know we were there when you were introduced, and that was something that meant a lot to both of you.
Yeah, I mean, he recruited me out of high school. I ran for him at Northern Iowa as an athlete. So I don't know how many years it was total. It was over 25 years that we had either he had coached me or we had coached together. So it was pretty cool when I got named the head coach. It was in the works a little bit, you know, prior. We kind of knew what was going to happen, but I think we did a good job of kind of keeping it quiet till right at the end. But it's as Chris said, that here at Arkansas, you know, you have to know the expectations, and you have to know the history of the John McDonald, Lance Harder, all the greats that did all the things they did while they were here at Arkansas. And, I think that overall, when you look at just a program in general and what it's done for 40 years, it's the history is unbelievable. It's amazing to go back and look at the school records, the way kids ran back here in the 80s, and you'd be really amazed at how great this program's been for 40 years now.
Is there anything you remember? I asked Travis Gepfert this. I talked to him for a story before they came to town for a meet, and I asked him about coaching under Coach Bucknum and things he remembered. Is there anything you feel like you learned in particular for him, or any Buck-isms that you feel like you apply now that you're head coach? Coach Gepfert had a few that he told me about. It was very funny.
Yeah, I'm not sure I should put a lot of that. There's so much things. We were around each other for so much time, and if you know anything about him, he's from Boston and he has an accent and all those things. So he's really easy to make fun of, you know, go get in the car over there and stuff. So we always talk to him like that. But I think overall the motivational aspect that he created with the team aspect that we have today, that we still have. And I think that probably started back with Coach McDonald as well. And But we've always really emphasized that, like having a great overall team and performing well at the big meets. That's something else we focus on, is when you get to the SEC meet or you get to the NCAA meet, that's the time to do your thing and be the best that you can be at that time of year. So I think those things overall, just, you know, you kind of soak that stuff in. I don't know, it's not like, you know, you're getting taught a lesson every day on the track, but just being around it so much and being in a winning atmosphere and a winning program, I think it really helped probably both of us, you know, achieve what we've achieved.
Yeah, Coach Johnson, for you with Coach Harder, was there anything in particular you feel like you learned from him, coaching with him for a long time?
I just think his approach to things, his balance and his ability to trust you to do what you need to do. And he had a great amount of trust for me and Brian Compton, and just allowed us to coach and allowed us to make our own mistakes, if you will, at times, to be teachable moments in the future. And just being able to help show you how to put a team together, and then once you put the team together, help develop it into being what you think it should be.
Coach Case, before this season, even before Coach Bucknum announced he was retiring, it seemed pretty clear you guys felt really good about this year's team, and you felt really good about what you had. When did you kind of start to figure out that this was a team that could, you know, put it all together and compete for a title? Because, you know, at Arkansas, you're always, that's an expectation. But how do you kind of gauge early in the year with your team, you know, what level you might be able to reach?
You know, I don't really know until about the middle of the indoor season. You can expectations are high, and you know who you've recruited. But you don't know how they're going to respond to the way you train. There were a lot of new kids this year on our team, a lot of new athletes. I did really see some stuff happen after the Tyson indoor meet for us. And as a team, we had 12 guys have the flu for our first 2 weeks of the season indoors. So, you know, I got asked about one of the kids that went to conference, one of our new guys, and I go, I don't know if he's any good. Well, he won the 5K, so he was pretty good. But I hadn't seen him run but one time all year, so I didn't really know, you know, what he could do. So us for a program, for me, watching us, I think after the Tyson indoor meet, which was 2 weeks before the SEC meet, that I saw things come together, and it felt like, hey, this is a team that we can do some stuff. And I guess we proved it right, so it was all good.
Something we've talked about some this year when we've been watching, you know, a guy like Darius Acuff over at basketball, where he's doing things that people don't do that often pretty much every night. And I think it's a little bit applicable to track, too, with the Arkansas track programs, with just how competitive you are, how competitive Arkansas is on the national stage year in and year out. How do, Coach Johnson, I'll start with you. How do you keep both yourself, the people in the building, the athletes, from taking that kind of success for granted? And how do you kind of keep pushing for that level every year?
Well, I don't think every team is a little different. And I guess the pressure comes from being, you don't want to be the team that doesn't achieve and it's not successful. So you just remind them of all the people that came before them and the amount of work they put in and the amount of time they put into their craft, and get the other younger people, the younger kids, to understand that this is what it's going to take if you want to be successful. Your talent got you here, but your talent is not going to help you win. You got to put the work behind your talent to get there. And so I just think that we don't necessarily talk about it as much, but we get them to understand here's what it's going to take, and you have to live up to those expectations. That happens on a daily basis, and you can't talk yourself into it. You got to work your way into it.
Coach Hayes, how do you approach that?
It's, again, you know, when you come to Arkansas, you know what the expectations are, I think. And I think John Anderson even asked me that question, and I said, well, we recruit like that. You know, we start our questioning a little bit. You know, what level do you desire to compete on? Do you want to go on? Do you want to be a professional athlete? Do you want to make Olympic teams? And then, you know, we tell them that it's different in Arkansas. We say it's different here. There's a huge team aspect to what we do, and there's expectations to go on and win. And you know, I think that's motivational in itself. And I've been asked about the trophies back there, you know, all the trophies when you walk in, and you know, that's pretty motivational for our teams, for our athletes. And when you see that stuff and you're around it every day, I think you kind of take on that persona a little bit, and you know, it gives you confidence and makes you a good athlete a little bit.
Seems like we're always talking with coaches in other sports about transfer portal, NIL, things like that. How has that impacted track and field? What does that look like in the world of track and field? Because it's similar, but also different in some ways, I think. Coach Case, do you want to take that first?
Well, I mean, that's flipped everything over, you know, recruiting-wise. It's not that you wait to use the portal, but you can only really recruit the high school highest high kids out there, because it's very difficult to come into a program like this and make an impact coming out of high school. It's very difficult. Now we do, I'm not saying we don't recruit high school athletes, but at the same token, the portal, you get an advanced level athlete that's proven at the collegiate level, and many of the kids that we recruit, you know, they've scored at an NCAA meet before and things. So it's changed the way it is, and you get a lot of 1 or 2 year athletes, and that's what I was talking about earlier when I wasn't sure how some of these guys would respond to the training and things like that. So you don't know that year into year, and it kind of takes a couple meets to figure it out, but it's changed things a lot. At the same token, we're going to go out there and recruit the best of the best no matter what level they come in at.
Coach Johnson, how have you guys kind of approached that?
Well, the approach is, I guess, is different. I mean, if you look at the team that we had, we finished fourth place. All those kids were here last year, every last one of those kids. I think the NIL, it's changed the development of student athletes, and it expedites everything. And if you don't adhere to the changes, then you're going to kind of fall behind. So we were fortunate enough to have kids in our program that's kind of matured up. But the NIL is a space where you can pay to get the very best athletes. It takes a little bit away from Arkansas in terms of the investment in facilities and the tradition of Arkansas, because people can just outpay you to get the very best athletes. But I think that the athletes that we do get and we acquire, they understand that it's different in Arkansas. Their goals are a little different, and they understand you can't get that anywhere and just any place. You might get the money up front, but your career is going to change. Here at Arkansas, it may or may not change somewhere else, but on the men's and women's side, we're proven to produce athletes that are going to run past college and going to run into a professional career and have a long time career in athletics and track and field. So I think that's different, but I think it comes at a price. It comes with timing and being able to formulate athletes together at the right time to be able to win a championship. And I just think sometimes Arkansas, the state of Arkansas, the University of Arkansas, they take it for granted. It's not an easy thing. It's no different than basketball, football, baseball. It takes what it takes to win, and that takes an investment. And it also takes the ability to change what you're doing to get the result that you want, because everyone else in the country is making that change. And I think sometimes we're slow to change, and we got to expedite that change if we want to continue to promote track and field at the University of Arkansas.
I think that is something that people don't realize if they don't follow track super closely, particularly at the collegiate level, about how difficult it is to win a team title because of the depth you have to have, the range you have to have. How have you guys approached, kind of, as new coaches, how have you approached kind of putting your stamp on these programs and trying to continue to keep that depth and continue, like we talked about, this legacy that Arkansas has had?
Well, I don't think I've changed or necessarily Doug has changed. I think we've been coaching for a very, very long time. I mean, you're looking at two guys that's coached 20-plus years. Most of the time that's been an assistant coach. But seeing how it's done, seeing what it's going to take, but I think that change is inevitable. And I think our ability to adapt to the different type of kids that you're recruiting, the international recruiting, the management of the athletes that we are recruiting from a high school standpoint, and the ability to know what talent looks like and seeing it develop 3 or 4 years from now is understanding. So when you recruit a high school kid, they might be really, really talented, but the difference is, will they be able to matriculate and do the same thing in college? That's the biggest difference, I think, and we've had the ability to get the right kids, whether that be a portal kid, whether that be a high school kid, whether that be a junior college kid. We've had them all. I mean, Doug has had every type of kid that you would expect to have in a program, but the biggest difference is being able to coach them and develop them whatever level they're at to make them better. And I think the kids that come to Arkansas, they want to get better, and they need to get better each and every year, and they need to be able to see that for them to continue to work hard, and I think we've done a fantastic job doing that.
Chris, you use a great word, adapt, and if you're a coach and you're not adapting and changing with the rules and the situations you're in, then you're going to fail. So I've never been myself like locked into a system that we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And we just had a little meeting this morning and we talked about a little bit about recruiting, and I have some new coaches that haven't coached very long, and I basically said, look, we're going to recruit the best athlete no matter what event they're in. The event isn't as pertinent as the great athletes. So, you know, we're going to go out and recruit anyone who we think can score an NCAA or an SEC meet. Doesn't matter what event they're in. It doesn't matter if we're two deep or three deep in that event. If we can get the best kid in the best event, we're going to do it.
There's a lot of pro athletes that stay around and train in Fayetteville. Coach Johnson, for you specifically, tell us a little bit about working with some of those athletes once they're done in Arkansas. And what does something like an Olympic year look like for you when you're also working with them in addition to your Arkansas team?
It looks busy. it looks busy. Track is one of those sports that it's a time-consuming thing, and it just takes time. But when you invest in a student athlete, we're going to invest into them for the rest of their lives. So it's really not a situation where we're looking to just do it for their collegiate time. We want to do it if they're good enough and they have the ability to continue to get better and run at a very high level. We want to stick with them, and I think that's a big attraction because they understand that we have a lot of professional athletes here, and they are successful, and they want to be a part of that. So they're seeing themselves past the college ranks, and they're seeing themselves as a professional athlete. And those, like to Doug alluded, those are the type of kids that we want. So we got to be able to provide them something past the college the situation to get them to understand that Arkansas is the place for them. So we're recruiting athletes who want to be a professional athlete, who have the ability to be a professional athlete, but within that you got to provide them something that's going to want them to come here initially. And I think that's what our professional athletes have been able to do. They help our recruiting. They help set great examples for the younger athletes. And hopefully the collegiate athletes can see themselves being where the professional athletes are at currently. And they've been very successful and very helpful to our programs, both men's and women's side. I mean, we've all coached medalists, and Doug's coached some Olympic gold medalists. And that matters, and because that's the pinnacle, and everybody wants to get to the pinnacle. It's very different than baseball or basketball or football, where they don't have an opportunity to stay with their college coach or whatever the case may be, because that's how it goes, right? But in our sport, they want to stay where they're going to be successful. Unless they are mandated to go somewhere else, they want to stay where they've been consistent and be able to reach a high level. So for us, it's very busy, but we're dedicated to the student athlete, which makes our teams really, really good.
Coach Case, I want to talk to you about Jordan Anthony, because I think if there's one recent athlete people that aren't necessarily watching every meet, no, it's Jordan Anthony. Having won the Bowerman, we were joking when you guys did a thing at Basketball Forum at halftime, had to carry the trophy out there. It is a very large trophy. Jordan's career was so interesting to track because of him starting out as also being on the football team. Tell us a little bit about when you got Jordan here and how you kind of navigated his being on the football team and then kind of getting him to see, you know, hey, track and field's your future, and you know, how you were able to develop him into the success he's having now.
Well, he came to us from Texas A&M football. He didn't run track there at all. So he came in with basically 1 year of track and field experience collegiately, because he was at Kentucky for a year, a semester. The guy moved like every semester he was moving around. So when we got him in, you know, he was just flat out of shape. You know, he really was. And I've said many times I was surprised he kept coming back, because I really kind of punished him for about 2 months trying to get him in shape. He was in such bad shape. But he did a great job. And I don't want to say it was football shape, but it kind of was a little bit, you know. But he really dug in, and he did what he was supposed to do. He didn't back down from the workouts. He didn't back down from the times that we tried to let him have him run and practice and things. And there was a breakthrough day I can just remember in practice, we were running 150s down at Tyson at the indoor track, and I was given guys like a chaser. So I sent a group out of really good sprinters right in front of him to run a 150, and they're good. And I've set him about 5 meters behind him, and then I had him take off, and he got to the top of the turn, and then all of a sudden he hit a special gear that I'd never seen in my life, and that dude passed those guys, and I was like, wow, this guy is a special individual. You know, it's the first time I'd really seen him do something like that, and I think for him, just the overall accomplishments that he had on the short time period that he trained with us, coming off of football, never had the fall, because we train all fall, right? I mean, it's grueling out there, and we get guys into really good shape and great condition and all that things, but he came off of a football conditioning and football playing, so I give him kudos like crazy for hanging in there, doing everything he was supposed to do, and just he became the best athlete in America, you know, NCAA track and field, winning that Bowerman Award. And that thing weighs about 50 pounds, I think. I know what you're talking about there. And you know it's gold, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. It's actually gold. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So now you've got another sprinter / football player in Jelani Watkins, who's already broken one of Jordan's records. Tell us about Jelani, what you saw in him, how you got him here.
Jelani's a transfer from LSU football as well. He did run track there. But Jelani is another guy that you know, I would say didn't come in the best of condition, the best of shape. We got him in January as well. But he's another guy that did what he's supposed to do. You know, he did everything right. And he didn't make any fuss about doing the workouts, you know. And they're hard. And they're hard if you haven't been in our mix and doing what we're doing. But he developed into a great indoor sprinter this year. I think he ran 6:46, which I believe is the fourth fastest time in NCAA history, possibly. I think his 200 is a top eight, or no, that was, I think, the fourth fastest time in NCAA history. He almost broke our school record, which was the world record when it was set.
Is that the Wallace Spearman Jr.?
Yeah, record? Wallace, yeah. Still holds that record, yeah. At 2010. He ran 2011 in the prelim. So, I mean, what he's done in a short period of time, again, is pretty amazing. And, you know, I think it's all because of the attitude that both of those two athletes had, and they didn't. Neither one of those guys questioned anything. It was pretty amazing how. Now, I didn't really know them that well. Obviously, they were first semester guys in our program, and they just believed and did what they were supposed to do. And I mean, sometimes when you just turn your brain off and do what you're supposed to do, great things happen. And I really think that happened for both those guys.
Coach Johnson, Sanu Jalal Lockhart, who I mentioned to everybody earlier, is one of their great 800 runners. She's very quickly become, you know, one of the favorite athletes for me to watch. And she's also great to talk to because she's always happy. She's really fun. She's really bright. What has her career been like? And what did you see her do this year? Because I know there was a lot of talk about her training through cross country as well. Can you explain for people that don't know how that would help an athlete like Sanu?
Well, obviously, Sanu is a little different athlete. She's got a lot of range, so she's got cross-country range all the way down to the 400 meters, maybe 200 meters, a decent 200 meters, but 400 meters, I think she could be a 50-point young lady for sure. But she's one of those athletes who are just a really hard worker and very determined. I think previously in her career, she just tried too hard, and she's just got to learn how to relax and let the race come to her. And I think the indoor SECs and the national meet, she just kind of let the race come to her, and she ran a really, really good race. We thought she could win it, but finishing NC2A runner-up with the best in the country. I mean, we're competing against 360-plus schools, and to be runner-up or be top eight, it's very, very difficult. And you don't have a team necessarily. Your team is comprised of people in different events, so you're basically doing this on your own. You're responsible for the team points, but you're doing it on your own. So to have that type of weight on your back and be able to come through in the clutch, and she came through in the clutch, and she did a really, really good job. And it's been a maturation for her. She's a transfer from Texas A&M, and obviously we had to show them how to really get it done. But she's been fantastic for us, and she's grown and developed, and we're looking for bigger and better things outdoors.
Speaking of outdoors, that gets going very soon here. What do you feel like you learned about your team from indoor season, Coach Johnson, that you're taking into outdoor, and what goals do you have for your athletes and your team overall in outdoor season?
Well, I think the bigger the meet, the bigger the situation. You learn who's going to fight and who's not going to fight. And I think we got a team full of talented young ladies, but they're also very competitive, and they're going to fight, and they're going to step up when it really, really matters. So when you're looking at a team, there's a lot of teams with a lot of talent, but who's going to step up when it really matters? And you can only see that at big meets, and I think we have a team that's, I mean, you always think it, but you don't know it, and they've proven themselves to be gamers. They want to get it done when it really, really matters the most, and that's what we're most excited about. So we can continue with the momentum. I think we're going to see some special things outdoors.
Coach Case, what about you, especially fresh off SEC title and NCAA title?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our team expectations are high, and I know that we add four athletes to our outdoor roster that we didn't have indoors, and they're all national caliber athletes. So we're looking to have a great outdoor season again. You know, I was asked if you're a good team at SECs, and I go, hey, we're a great team. You know, we're a great track and field team, but you have to do it on the day it counts. And I think that's the, you know, Chris was referring to, you've got to know when to do it, and it's got to gel that day. And if you don't gel that day, you're probably not going to win because the competition is fierce. And when you can kind of have your team rally on those big dates, the SEC dates and the NCAA, you know, those are the way you win. That's the way you win those championships.
Coach Case, you and I talked about after Noah Lyles was here for the Tyson meet and just the attention that that brought to that meet. We've talked so much, and a lot of people know that the facilities here are top in the country. What is it about specifically the indoor facility, but also your outdoor facility, and about what you have here that makes it so good?
I mean, our facilities are top notch. They're the best. We travel all over the country. They're the best of the best. You know, the Tyson indoor tracks, it's the fastest track in the world, indoor track in the world. And then when you have opportunities to bring someone like Noah Lyles in, and you know, it was a huge crowd that weekend for that Tyson Invitational meet. And but he loved the place. You know, he said that was one of the top five places he's ever been at a track meet before. And he's been a lot of places. You know, the guy's been all over the world to run. But I thought that statement said a lot for our facilities and our programs and the way we run a track meet, and our officials, everything. And you know, you go up to our outdoor stadium, and it's beautiful too. And the Franco Mara Center on the end it's the best training facility you could ever ask for. The training room's there. We have our own weight room there. We have a team room. We have locker rooms, equipment room. All that stuff is encompassed in one spot right there on our campus, right there at our outdoor track. And you know, we are really lucky to have great facilities like that.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.